The time is 7 o'clock on April 12, 2018. I'm going to order the Pappy Missouri River NRD Board of Directors meeting. You already have early risen for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The copy of Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce procedures that will be used for the meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairman. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and all questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask the public not to interrupt the director's discussion or actions. Thank you. With that, quorum call, please.
Bradley.
Here.
Brad Conley.
Here.
John Conley.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Brunwald.
Yeah.
Here.
Leahy.
Here.
Caesar.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Bees.
Here.
And Shepard.
Present. Agenda item 4, adoption of the agenda.
No move.
Such it.
All right, my motion is second. Roll call on the motion, please.
Fred Conley.
Hi.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Chad.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
And Shepard.
Yes. And item number 5, adoption of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call on the motion, please.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Heath.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Yes, I have in my hand the affidavit of proof of publication for this evening's meeting that will become part of the permanent record. With that, moving right along to agenda item number 6, agency and association reports and presentations. 8A, Natural Resource Conservation Service, Neil Jensen. Good evening, Neil.
Good evening. Just kind of an update of what we're doing this month in our offices. We've been approving our EQIP applications for funding. If you scroll down to the local fund codes, this is the money that gets assigned to this NRD, about a little over $390,000. We've got 19 applications that have been pre-approved, so we're writing those into contracts now. You can see under the cropland, we're basically doing terrace systems. We've got 3 under pastures. We're doing fencing, water tanks, pipelines, wells, pumping plants, brush management, so a wide variety of practices on grassland. And then we've got a local forestry fund where we're doing some windbreak renovations around houses and reestablishing some of those windbreaks. They're just old and need to be replaced. Next page. We've also got quite a few applications, 10 of them using state funds. One application was under the ephemeral gully control. You may remember we've talked about that. That is a high priority of us, that all farmers have got to control ephemeral erosion on their cropland, on their highly erodible cropland, in order to be eligible for USDA program benefits. So controlling that erosion is important. We've got 3 high tunnels again this year. 6 applications under the tribal initiative. This initiative is only, you have to be an American Indian to be owned and operated in order to be eligible for that fund code. And then we got an application for an AFO. This is not for one of the chicken ones that is coming up in Washington County. You may be hearing a little bit about that. I'm sure that may become an issue in the future if there's any concerns about water and quality. And, I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about that. But this one here happens to be on the cattle operation. So I'm sure I'm probably going to get asked where we're going to be on staffing. I don't think we're going to see anything for a long time on any updates. We did lose one of our students here tomorrow. This is one. He's going to go work for Game Parks. There's a story behind that. He did want to work for NRCS, but there were some issues. We're just going to have to deal with that. But until things change with how allocations funding gets down to us, we're looking at being a lot leaner. Any questions?
Dr. Jay, I have one. The animal feeding operation, is that an existing operation or is it something new?
It's existing. New operations are not eligible. Now, that when you say what's new, you know, if they've got livestock within the last 10 years, they would be considered existing. But if they don't, if they have cattle and they want to get into hogs, that's a new operation.
George Bradley. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Neil, I was wondering, can you expand a little bit about chicken operations? They're looking to be cropping up because of the Costco plant?
Washington County, I just happened to read it in the Blair Enterprise. They had 6 applications to put in facilities for growing chickens. If you happen to be going north to Blair, they've got a sign of 380,000 chickens say no. So they, yeah, there's a lot of opposition to it. From what I was reading, it looked like they were preliminary approving 4 of the 6. But I didn't attend the meeting. So,
Director Weiss,
back to the workforce. What's the chances of getting some kids out of school on a work release program? Do we have anything like that that just helps you through the summer to that kind of?
Yeah, the problem is usually summer isn't the time we need them. Fall is our construction season, so usually in school then. But we've had 2 students, college students, and we've still done that every year. So, in fact, one's supposed to graduate in May and come back, and hopefully we don't have any problems there. He'll be added to our staff then.
Director Teaser, did you have anything?
I love chicken.
All right.
Thank you.
I had it for lunch.
Any other questions or comments from directors? Thank you so much, Neil. Moving on to 8B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the reason I say that plant is only to be about a quarter mile away from the Union Dyke at the north end of the south west side of Fremont. So I get to see all the chicken feathers. The NARD did meet in Lincoln on March 12th. We held our annual elections. For the executive committee, Larry Reynolds of the Tri-Basin NRD, who served for 33 years on the Tri-Basin, was elected president. And then we got some new blood on there. Jim Eshelman of the Lower Loop was elected vice president. He's only been serving for 2 years. And Milt Smith from the Lower Platte South, secretary treasurer, and he's been on board for 6 years on the NRD board. And then the fourth position will be executive board past president Jim Benfelt, and he's served on the Central Platte, and he's been on the Central Platte board for 14 years. And then on March 7th, the general managers met, and John Borgi of the North Platte NRD, he was elected chair of the managers. And beyond that, it was a rather uneventful meeting, so if there's no questions, I'll conclude my report.
Thank you, Director Teaser. I'm going to go ahead and throw in a 8B2. So for the Washington, D.C. conference that I attended, Marlon was there with me. It was definitely worthwhile, lots of good information. There was somebody from the Corps of Engineers that came to
to talk to us, and they did talk about 408 permits. It's a very, very hot topic, and I think she maybe had a too happy of a view on things. She said that, that with the 408 permits, there would be a 30-day initial review process where there'd be, the Corps would be working with us for that 30 days to make sure that we got everything right and squared away so that they would get the permit and it'd be completely ready to go. And then within 90 days, they would render a decision. So the total process would take 120 days to get a 408 permit pushed through. I think we're pushing about 10 years on one right now. Officially five. So apparently they're trying to streamline things and listen to their customers. So we'll see how that works out. Another, probably the most important one, the most enlightening speaker was from Farm Bureau. And he was talking about WOTUS. And he had mentioned that the Trump administration had postponed the implementation for roughly 24 months. And basically, at this point, the 2015 rule will still go in effect by February 2020 unless his administration works to repeal and replace it. And, Bill, if you could pull up the PDF file that I sent you. So here's an example of what it looks like right now as far as what's federal jurisdiction pre-proposed rule of the 2015 WOTUS rule. You'll see the approximate length of streams, perennial and intermittent, is 47 and 96 miles. If you could jump to the next slide, all these would then be regulated under the new regulations. So ephemeral streams, intermittent and ephemeral streams. So 308 additional miles that they would be working on or have regulation and authority over. About 850 small ponds in this view of a total of about 200 acres. So if you look at all the small streams in there that were added and the small ponds, it adds a ton. They're basically overseeing not just the water, but the land. And Bill, if you could jump down a few more slides, I'll let you know when to stop. So right here, here's one area. Here's an example of permitting that actually took place. So here's an overview of the land. If you go to the next slide, so here's the permitting that needed to be done for it. And you'll see all the different sites there. A company came in, they wanted to build a structure, and they needed permitting for each one of those streams. If we go to the next slide, you can see them at this point, and then if you jump down one more, this is what those look like, because there was a sign that water was there at one point in time. The federal government, or the Corps of Engineers and EPA, sees that as something that they should have jurisdiction over. And there's another slide, same thing here. So they would be regulating that. So if you think about even just driving around here, all the fields that you drive by, it would then be seen as something that they could regulate. And the way that it's working, the 404 permit, those could be impacted by 404 permitting, to the point, he was saying, that farmers would even have difficulty changing what crops they produce every year. They would need a permit to change the crops that they produce every year. So when you look at that situation, and it's waters of the U.S., and yeah, there was water there, but it's not so much a water control act. It's they're trying to control the land as well. And it's honestly, it was very eye-opening in my mind. It's incredibly scary. Having been here and seeing how long and difficult it is to get 404 permits, 408 permits, I don't understand how the productivity of the country can move forward with that. Especially an interesting statistic along the lines of crops. They've mentioned that currently in the world, the United States is the only country that produces enough food to feed its own population. And that's going to be going away by, I believe, 2024. So you take that into account, then you take that into account that if they don't repeal and replace WOTUS with something else, by 2020, those type of rules would be put into place, and the burden on the farmers and the producers of food will be just absolutely incredible. So I would encourage anybody and everybody on this board to please contact their federal delegates and do what they can to help make sure that that doesn't happen. We have Director Tisa, and we'll jump to you, Director.
I want to thank you for bringing this up. Part of my backyard would qualify under this as letting the government regulate my mowing the grass.
You probably shouldn't say that in public,
Richard. I'm sorry.
So we'll camp out. Control.
Director Conley?
What organizations or organizations or parties or whatever is driving these tough regulations?
Beyond the EPA.
He's no longer
president. No, it's EPA under the old administration. Yeah. They're trying to roll it back right now. It
rolls back to the Obama administration? Then.
Yes.
Correct.
That was the overreach by the old EPA.
Under Obama.
Under Obama.
Ever quit fighting in Washington, maybe they could solve some of these problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the general thought is if things move forward the way that things get hung up in the courts, that what we saw from the Obama administration will be what is actually put into place after it runs through the courts for a decade or so.
Scary. Thank you.
So, yeah, it was definitely worth the time to go. I don't care how much of an environmentalist you are. This should raise the ire of some doubt and that it's doing or attempting to do the right thing. That's all I have for my report. Moving on to AC, legislative report, General Manager John Winkler.
Thank you. Ron Slotchek cannot be here this evening. The legislature adjourned yesterday. They passed a number of bills sent to the governor for his signature. They are saving one day, Wednesday the 18th, to re-adjourn and to override any vetoes that may come from the governor, and then also to give those that are term-limited or not seeking re-election their time on the floor to say goodbye to their colleagues and to the body. So you probably kept up in the paper. Obviously, property taxes and the budget were big items this year. It does not look like a special session, although there is talk of having a special session. It doesn't sound like that will, in fact, occur. It's always possible, but very unlikely. So we will wait again until they reconvene next January. Obviously, a number of elections, big turnover coming up in this next election cycle, so it should be interesting. So we will start our visits after the primaries with candidates and with returning legislators, and then after, again, in the general election in November, we will kind of redouble our efforts to circle back with those that are elected and those that are probably seeking committee chairs and things like that. So that's my report.
Thank you, John.
Does anybody have any questions?
Okay. Moving on to agenda item number 9 is a public hearing on land acquisition at West Papillion Regional Basin number 1. My hearing officer, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll call the hearing to order at 7:17 p.m. The first, the next agenda item is evidence and proof of publication of the hearing notice. The next agenda item is explanation of the purpose of the hearing. Brent Meyer, legal counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Winkler. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statute, Section 25-2504. At this hearing, the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District will explain the nature and necessity of the proposed land acquisition at West Papillion Regional Basin No. 1 and the reasons for selecting this particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney and to negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district for the proposed acquisition. The owner of the property to be acquired has previously contacted the district regarding the potential acquisition and is a willing seller under applicable law. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objections from any person.
Thank you, Brent. Next agenda item is identification of exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is proof of publication of the hearing notice, Omaha World Herald, April 5th, 2018. Exhibit 3 is the map of the land acquisition area. Exhibit 4 is the preliminary map of the West Papillion Regional Basin No. 1 project. Agenda item 6, explanation of the purpose and scope of the project, Amanda Grant.
Good evening. Maybe, Bill, if you could show the second map, the overall map first. The district is proposing the construction of the West Papillion Regional Basin No. 1, which is generally located at 180th and Fort Streets in Douglas County, Nebraska. The purpose of the project is public flood control and recreation for the Papillion Creek watershed in the Omaha metropolitan area. And the location was chosen to maximize the controlled drainage area in the watershed. This map shows the proposed WP1 project, and this public hearing is just for the area shaded in red. The district is currently anticipating the acquisition of about 10 acres in that vicinity. As Brent mentioned, it's a willing seller. We were contacted by the seller, and a representative from the landowner, Celebrity Homes, is here this evening, too, if you have any questions. We were contacted, and so we are holding the public hearing just on the upper part necessary for the project that's shown in red. There will be a recreation element associated with this project, and it is a public project. But again, we're not having a public hearing for the entire parcel, but just the one upstream. And if there's any questions, I would be happy to try to answer them, as well as a landowner representative.
Yeah, thank you, Amanda. Agenda item 7 is receive testimony statements. Is there anyone from the public that would like to provide testimony on this particular subject matter? Second request, does anyone like to provide any testimony? Third and final. Seeing none, agenda item 8 is the reception of the exhibits. And like to adjourn the hearing at 7:20 p.m.
Thank you, John. We're on to agenda item 10, public hearing on the land acquisition at Grassley Crossing. Once again, hearing officer John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll open the public hearing at 7:20 p.m. Agenda item 3 is evidence approved publication of the hearing notice. Agenda item 4, explanation of the purpose of the hearing, Brent Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Winkler. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statute Section 25-2504. At this hearing, the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District will explain the nature and necessity of the proposed land acquisition at Grassley Crossing and the reason for selecting this particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney and to negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district for the proposed acquisition. The owner of property to be acquired has previously contacted the district regarding this potential acquisition and is a willing seller under applicable law. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objections from any person.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Agenda item 5, identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is a proof of publication of the hearing notice, Omaha World Herald, April 5th, 2018. Exhibit 3 is map of the land acquisition area. Agenda item 6, explanation of the purpose and scope of the project, Amanda Grant.
Thank you. The district is proposing construction of additional parking area at Grassley Crossing, which is located in the vicinity of Skyline Drive and West Dodge Road, but along the Elkhorn River, as you can see on the map there, in Douglas County. The purpose of the project is to expand on a public recreation river access point. And let's see, you can see the shaded area is the proposed area that the district is considering for purchase. Brent mentioned, again, a willing seller, and this is it actually is exactly 3 acres of land adjacent to the existing recreation site. And we propose to acquire fee simple title to this area, and it is intended to be used for additional parking because of the heavy use of the Elkhorn River sites from the tanking and tubing companies. I should mention for this case and also for the other land acquisition, we have a 30-day window until we could present an offer, negotiated offer to you. And our next board meeting is not quite 30 days, so you could expect these in June meeting.
Thank you, Amanda. Agenda item 7, receive testimony statements. Is there anyone from the public that would like to provide any testimony or input on this acquisition? Second request, anyone would like to provide any input? Third and final, seeing none. Agenda item 8, reception of exhibits. And agenda item number 9, hearing adjournment at 7:23 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Moving on to agenda item number 11, subcommittee reports, 11A. Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee, Director John Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the April 10th, 2018 meeting, the Program, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Presentations on the Papain Creek Watershed Reservoirs DS7, DS12, DS14, WP1, WP2, and WP4 were given by HDR Inc., Olson Associates, and Fire Engineering. No action was taken on by the subcommittee. Agenda item number 1 is Nebraska Game and Parks Commission Operations Agreement. Item 1A is Summit Lake Subcommittee recommends that the GM be authorized to pay an annual $40,000 district contribution to the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission for the next four fiscal years to assist in the operation and management of Summit Lake State Recreation Area beginning on or about July 1st, 2018. And furthermore, district cost share 50-50 with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission for the FY 2019 for electrical campground expansion at 13 camping pad sites at Summit Lake, and for a not-to-exceed district cost share amount of $50,000 be approved, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to district form by district council, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors?
Do we have any actual numbers as to how many people use Summit Lake, whether it's camping or fishing or in a year's time?
We don't, but we can get them from Game and Parks. I'm sure they have some type of either an estimate or an actual count.
I mean, so they're saying it's increasing, but how much is it increasing?
Yeah, and maybe we discussed. Terry, do you know off the top of your head? I know we had that conversation, or Jim, but
I just know I've been out there three times last year. It was packed every time.
Yeah.
I go up there quite a bit. But
Jim, do you have any specific numbers or you know?
Just curious.
No specific numbers. I do know that camping
right. We can find those and get them to you.
I'm just curious what that number would be.
Any other questions from directors? Seeing none, I'll call the motion.
Fowler.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
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 Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Yes.
Yes.
Moving on to item 1B. Danish Alps State Recreation Area. Subcommittee recommends that the GM be authorized to execute the proposed first addendum to the interlocal agreement with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission for the management, operation, and maintenance of the Danish Alps State Recreation Area, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff? Or directors? Seeing none, roll call the motion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Keith.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred
Thompson. Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Minister. Yes.
Item 2 is Amendment 3 to Professional Service Contract with Fire Engineering for WP6 and WP7. Subcommittee recommends that the GM be authorized to execute Amendment 3 the professional services agreement between the district and Fire Engineering for construction administration services for WP6 and WP7 project in an amount of $1,155,504, bringing the total maximum not to exceed contract amount $2,677,359, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approval as reformed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Once again, I have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Thompson.
This this Amendment 3 is probably subject to a different set of conditions or anything. We probably won't have any more amendments to this.
Amendment. Yes, this is all the way through construction.
Yes, all right. Good. Thanks.
We hope.
Any other comments or questions? Director Jackson.
This is a typical amount for a project of this size. This is...
It actually comes
commonly. This is well within limits.
Any other questions from directors?
No.
Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Thank you.
Yes.
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 Bradley.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
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 Item 3 is agreement with NRCS for Regional Conservation Partnership Program for Papillion Creek Site WP1 Dam. Subcommittee recommends that the GM be authorized to execute the statement of work with the National Resources Conservation Service for the Papillion Creek Site WP1 Dam, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approval as informed by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
Everyone's going to have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call the motion.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Yes. Bradley.
Yes.
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 Yes. Item number four is Pigeon Jones Site 15 Outlet Repair Project. Subcommittee recommends that the GM be authorized to execute a contract with Detlef's Son Construction LLC in the amount of $30,436.80 for the construction of the Pigeon Jones Site 15 Outlet Repair Project. Subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approval as to form by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Mr. Leahy.
Just thought it was interesting that the two bids we got, neither was from the original subcontractor who put it in. You would think that maybe because they had familiarity with the project, they would want to come back and get it right. While there's no reason to, we don't know why this happened. I mean, we know what the issue is, and there is no probably ability to find out why or how. I hope the next time the general contractor and the subcontractor are bidding for one of our projects, that they at least maybe explain some lessons learned from this before we just hand them over another project. Not to say that it's their fault or whatever, but hopefully they've taken away something. So I think that's on future boards, future staff, and future project management companies, just to keep that in mind. That's all set.
Thank you, George. Director Weiss.
Wasn't somebody going to do some checking to see, because there was some questions as to, if something was installed or not installed in the first place, that maybe that we can go back and say, look, guys, you didn't do it right the first time, come back and fix it.
I'd like to address that. We have some photographs when it was built. It looks like it was built. That would help everybody see what's going on. Okay. Go back to the one where the rock was new. This is what it looked like when it was built before the water was in the creek course, and it was exactly what the plan was. Mm-hmm. Contractor did nothing wrong. He did exactly what the specs said. So you could argue whether the design was correct or not, but certainly the contractor did exactly what he was asked to do. I go to the current picture and see what it looks like. This is what it looks like today. We got a problem here. I should have showed you this to you Tuesday night, but look at the erosion around these two arms. And this is what it looks like today. You can see it's degraded a lot in the creek, so we're trying to get this stabilized in a good form. So, the design may have been somewhat deficient, but construction was certainly exactly what was in the plan. So I want to make sure we don't bash in the contractor, I guess.
So I'll change my comments to the next time that the designer is bidding a project that we just asked what kind of lessons learned. Maybe not to say that, obviously, the designer won't get future projects, because they absolutely will. But maybe they can just sort of share how this will be avoided in the future.
I'd like to make a comment, just kind of general things. I see all these dams. my role is kind of maintaining the dams once they're built. So I'm not actually the one, building the dam, but I see it once it's built. And I deal with all the issues that pop up. And it's kind of like buying a new car. You have recalls every so often. And typically a new car is great, but sometimes there's a defective, part of the car. And in our dams we've had over the years, we have typically great success, but sometimes there's erosion issues and stuff like that. And that's usually not a design deficiency, but just it's either bad weather, poor soil conditions. But, it's not unusual to go back and fix something in a dam like 20 years later, there's some erosion that's occurred in the front berm. Should that consultant maybe put that in the bid in the contract? They probably should have. But they're trying to keep it less expensive for us, so it's kind of a compromise thing. But I see this, I go out every day, every year, and inspect dams. I inspect probably 40 this spring, and you see things that happen like 20 years later on a dam. And you wonder, why did it happen 20 years later, but it happens. And so sometimes it's you build the Chevrolet. The Cadillac would be nice to build a Cadillac, and it would probably endure everything. Like this channel could have been riprapped. At a couple hundred thousand dollars, probably be fixed riprap. It'd be a great way to solve the problem, but it's kind of you take a risk. It's kind of risk management. So, again, I see these kind of things when I go out and look at dams, and I say, why didn't they do that a little differently? And I maybe personally would like to do it differently, but it's kind of a hindsight thing where I can look back and say, that should have been done differently, but
back at the time, they thought it was a great design, and they learned a lesson. We probably learned a lesson, too. Don't do that again. Do it differently, you know, with the grout. So it was a lesson for them and us both. But the contractor did a decent job, I think. So.
Martin, do you know the approximate cost of the Pigeon Jones Site 15 project? Total
$7 million.
So this is $30,000 worth of repair on a multi-million dollar project.
It's a small
perspective.
It's a small thing.
Thank you.
In respect to that, we want to make sure it's right because we want to come back every year, every other year, spend $30,000-$40,000 every other year and have a continual problem. That's my point. Did we even contact the original contractor and say, can you come out and look at this, see what we think?
We didn't have time, quite honestly. We just determined that the contractor was basically this morning that was Dixon. But I want to also point out this channel is man-made. A lot of times in our outlets of dams were outlet into a natural creek. It's already stabilized. This creek was just a virgin creek built in virgin soil. And so there, it's a lot more unstable. And so it's a thing in hindsight. They couldn't build it in the old channel because of various reasons. But building a new channel in virgin soil is like asking for trouble. And Happy Creek's a good example of that, where they realigned it years ago, and it's been trouble since ever since they did that. So, Dixon... I was going to make a comment, too, that the original designer is no longer involved with Olson Associates. The original inspector's gone. Our original project manager, Ralph Pauls, is no longer with us. He retired. So all the original people involved in this project, you know, except Marlon and I are still here, I guess, but original active people were gone. So it's not a thing where you can't really ask anyone any questions because they're no longer around. But
Martin, could you... maybe visualize the correction is going to be like wider and longer.
What's really going on is this rock, of course, is all it's all porous. It's real big riprap, and so we're going to go in and they're going to take it back out, put filler fabric on the upper face of it down below the water level, and then grout everything basically from the bottom up. So it's going to have lean concrete, which is basically watery concrete, put down the voids, and so that makes it more like a concrete dam in a way. So the water, instead of going through the rock like it is today, it's going to go over the top of the rock. The other issue here, too, is this channel has got a grade that's probably a little too steep. And so by raising this water level up to the top of this rock, we're going to probably make the grade half of what it is today. A flatter grade is usually a more stable creek. And so, again, in hindsight, the slope should have been probably a little more gradual. And so these rocks were intended to stabilize the creek, and they will once they have grout in them. But, again, the perfect solution would be to riprap this whole thing about 600 feet each side at a couple $100,000. We could do that, too, but it isn't probably a good expenditure of money, in my opinion. So we hope
I'd also like to add, in the 18 years plus I've been on the board, you're a very good dam inspector.
We try to keep them safe so they don't fall apart.
You're a very good dam
inspector. Any further comments from directors? On that note, roll call.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Staff.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Item 5, Elkhorn River Improvement Project Area, IPA. It's an operation and maintenance assessment. Subcommittee recommends that a special assessment for the operation and maintenance of the Elkhorn River Stabilization Improvement Project Area be levied against the benefited parcels in the amount of $20,000 for calendar year 2018, and that the following resolution be adopted. And I'm not going to read that lengthy resolution. We are continuing, though, the same $20,000 collection that we had done in the prior year. So on behalf of the subcommittee, I move approval of that item.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff? No directors? None. Roll call on the motion.
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Brett Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Staff?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
And Shepard?
Yes.
Item 6 are the FY 2019 Urban Cost Share Programs. Subcommittee heard a number of program submittals from management and there are five recommendations, and I'm going to take them without objection. I'll take them all as a group. The Urban Conservation Assistance Program for a total of $60,000, subject to funding in the FY 2019 budget. Urban Drainage Way Program recommendation of $120,400 and $80,000 for two projects for a total of $200,400. Be approved, subject to funding in the FY 2019 budget. Applications for recreation development programs. So committee recommended applications from Blair for $13,000, Decatur for $20,000, Herman for $5,000, Homer for $22,681, Papillion for $50,000, and South Sioux City for $50,000, for a total of $160,681. Again, subject to funding in the FY 2019 budget. D is Trails Assistance Program. The subcommittee recommends that the applications from SID 441 for $75,000 and Walt Hill for $53,450 for a total of $128,450 be approved, subject to funding in the FY 2019 budget. And the last item is Lake Dredging Program. Subcommittee recommends that the application SID 441 for 100, it says a million, I think it's $100,000,
yep,
be approved, subject to funding in the FY 2019 budget. And I move that all of these be approved.
All right, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public wishes to speak to this item? Staff?
I had one small.
Yes,
the last one, the Waterford Lake dredging thing, is that a private lake in that subdivision, or is that connected to Lake Cunningham somehow?
It's a water quality basin for Standing Bear,
and for,
it's managed
Standing
by
Bear.
The SID.
It is. So it's considered their property then.
Okay. It's public, yeah. But okay. They manage the facility.
I guess I'm not sure how that relationship is. Being the water quality basin.
Any further questions from directors? Seeing none, I'll call a motion.
Bradley.
Yes.
Bryce Conley.
Yes.
John Conley.
Yes.
Bowen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Lee.
Yes.
Yes.
That concludes that report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Director Conley. Moving on to agenda item 12, Treasurer's Report. And once again, Director Conley.
Treasurer's Report consists of items 12A through 12J inclusive, including two resolutions, and I move their approval.
Second to motion.
All right. We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this motion? Staff, board directors. Seeing none, roll call the motion.
Bryce Conley. Aye. John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Staff.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes. Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Yes.
That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Moving on to agenda item 13, legal update.
No legal update.
Thank you, Brent. Agenda 14, Chairman's Report. I have said everything I had to say earlier, so we'll move right along to agenda item 15, General Manager's Report. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attached for your review is the Information and Education Department's highlights for March 18. You will see that the NRD has a new generic ad. It's part of your packet, along with a new look. Until we undergo a full rebranding effort, we're going to, hopefully next year, kind of moving in that direction now. We also, the I&E team also created a new tool on the website as a news ticker, so we can post notices when the recreation areas are closed. We get a lot of calls all through the summer, anytime it clouds up and rains, if they're closed. So now we can direct them to the website, and it's updated that in fact they are open or they are closed. So I'd like to thank Jen for arranging that and getting that up and running. We received a letter of thanks from the United Way for our participation in their United Way campaign. I'd like to thank all the NRD employees that participate in that every year, and then also Marty Neeson. He's the campaign coordinator for the district. The I&E department did receive a complimentary email from Lewis and Clark Middle School thanking Austin for his outstanding program. In fact, Chuck Benson, the Science Club sponsor, indicated that it was such a success that he's going to make it an annual event for the school. So, and we received quite a few of these from Austin, so we want to thank him for his hard work. The report on purchases, construction services, professional services, and personal property is attached for review, as well as the current and ongoing projects with the district legal counsel. The next partnership, Pin Creek Partnership meeting is scheduled for April 26, 2018.
There's also a list of upcoming dates and items for your interest attached to the report as well. That concludes my report. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Agenda item 16, informational items. April 21st coming up. Earth Day Omaha will be celebrated. And are there any directors who will be speaking there this year?
I don't get any requests.
Nobody's dragging our soapbox.
But I know Director Bradley.
I plan to go. We're not on the agenda, are we?
Yeah, usually we get a request for speakers, but I don't think we've had.
We have like to say on the microphone.
But when we do, I'll put them out, see who can attend.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
We've also supported, I don't remember which community it was, another Earth Day. We have been a contributor to it. So in Sarpy County, I don't know whether it's Bellevue.
That's okay. The 29th of April.
Yeah.
That's on the, it's coming up too.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
And I want to know if they request speakers for that one as well.
Yep, we haven't received. Typically we do, but I just haven't got anything yet. I know the volunteers.
Did you guys bomb out last year?
I went last year, too.
All right, with that, the next board meeting will be on May 10th right here. With that, we are adjourned.